welcome to another Pediatric Insight that's brought to you by the Child Health Advisory Council and Career Physician. My name is Valerie Opapari, and I'm going to lead today's insight conversation. The topic that we thought we'd kind of touch on today with a couple of questions is the search process. And I think we all recognize that the search process for candidates is a critical function of leadership. The question I want to pose to our panel, when you reflect back on the many searches that you've either led or you've participated in, what, if anything, is the same? And what has changed over the course of your career in terms of how the search process works and is affected successfully?
Thank you, Valerie. I think that the search process has really changed a lot since back before we had electricity and all that. I remember when I was first recruited to Hershey, maybe 25, 30 years ago, they didn't have a search firm. And I was contacted by individuals who were part of the search committee. And that actually, looking back on it, if the search firm had actually contacted me initially, that would have been a turnoff. I mean, it was, you know, not the academic, I'm doing this in quotations, the academic way to do things. And I think that has really changed over the last couple of decades, and much for the better. At that point, it was really more of the, and I don't mean this in a positive sense, I mean it in a negative sense, really much of the old boys network. You would sort of, who do I know? How can we figure out how to get that person to come here? And nowadays, I really think that the search process is much more inclusive, much more open. I think that part of that is actually the use of social media among the various networks. People feel closer to other people in the discipline, whether it be pediatrics in general or a specific part of pediatrics. I really do think that all of the Zoom conferences and the like that we've had have really made it so the networks are stronger. And I think most of those changes have actually been positive. I do think that the involvement of search firms makes it a more standardized process. And depending on how thorough and the search firm is, makes it so that the candidate is more thoroughly vetted than it would be without that. So I think that almost all the changes that have happened in the last couple decades have really brought about a better process that brings us an opportunity to bring in leaders that really meet those criteria that we really value these days, which are transparency, diversity, the ability to understand all the situations that we're now dealing with.
Some really good points there, Craig. Bruce, what are your immediate thoughts?
Well, you first asked what is the same, and the same is to always find the very best candidate. And as Craig mentioned, things have changed, you know, with the use of social media, listservs, job boards. The search has become much more complex, and it's a lot more difficult to access all candidates using in-house capabilities, especially in many areas of pediatrics, where there's a very limited candidate pool. And for that reason, there's a much greater reliance on specialized search firms with access to greater resources. It's really transform the way that we do searches. The other thing is there's been a much greater emphasis on diversity of candidate pools and selection committees with a goal to having a more diverse group of hires. This has, for the most part, been positive. One thing that has concerned me, though, is that it's led some of the human resources departments to drive a requirement that candidates submit a statement of their involvement in and support for DEI initiatives. And it's not entirely clear how these statements and other questions posed by HR may contribute to the goal of increased diversity and stronger candidates. So I think it's incredibly important to identify a diverse pool of qualified candidates with a diverse selection committee. I still think we're struggling with the best way to do that.
You both mentioned social media, and I want to pose something to you. And that is, what about reverse search? You both mentioned the search process going out for candidates, but I don't know if you've noticed, but there's a lot of search algorithms that are approaching candidates and saying, you know, these are open positions. You know, do you want us to help you look for them? I'm just wondering if you have any experience on that side of it, because I found that actually kind of a newer modem for candidates to find out about open positions, almost in a reverse fashion from the normal way that we've done searches in the past.
I know that since retiring, I get LinkedIn notices. Would you like to look at this job or that job? Or it is a different time. And also there are many job postings on societal newsletters, and it is a different time. I think, as Craig said, in the past, you know, it was almost like if somebody applied from an ad, you said, oh, you know, they should, if they're not nominated by someone, how good a candidate are they? And that's completely changed with the new paradigm. So I think it is a different world. If I could say one thing that I think has changed, and that is the societal context has completely changed. I don't think people are as open to moving as they used to be. It used to be you had to move to advance in your careers, and there are more local and internal opportunities. But more than that, I think as individuals, almost all, so many families almost now have two wage earners. The aging population has required parental care, and some of the society things that have happened that make travel inconvenient, like 9/11. People are really thinking harder about making a move. So I think it really has changed. I mean, if people are located well in terms of their childcare and they're close to their parents, it's really challenging to get people to think about relocating with two family wage earners.
You find that that has made the effort on behalf of the leadership and the search committee, or, you know, those involved in the search, has raised the bar in terms of their activity or their involvement or the workload. Do any of you see that? Wesley, I see your hand is up. Maybe you have a comment.
Valerie, thank you. I do think all of the things Bruder and Craig and Bruce referenced, you know, I think it's pushed everybody towards a more candidate-centric process. Can no longer neglect the family and focus on the person you're trying to recruit solely and be successful in your efforts. So, I think that kind of stretches the institutional process, right? That's really totally driven towards the employee. And so, I mean, to me, that's a big change. I think one of the things that I've seen change over the last 30 years is, you know, brand doesn't mean as much as it used to. And I think that a lot of institutions were able just to put a job out and get a pretty big pool of candidates based on their brand. But I think this generation of leader, you know, taking into account the family and other things Bruder mentioned, is having a real big impact on whether or not an organization truly is candidate centric versus, you know, institutional centric in their process. I did want to comment on your other question, Valerie, not to name companies or brands, but the whole next level of job placement and such. You know, I've seen one company's product, but now with AI, there are products out there now where it's tracking people's internet usage. And so when an institution, when all the physicians at an institution are looking at real estate and other things like that, they can show you a global map of the US and show you where the hotspots are, where physicians are searching the internet for things that might relate to thinking about a job change. And so that's the level of sophistication that we're evolving towards. It's both interesting and creepy all at the same time, I think.
Wes, I want to ask you, and I don't want this to become a political conversation, obviously, but there have been a lot of political changes that have influenced physician opportunities and also impacts to training, with legislation that places physicians at risk for certain interventions and providing care. Are you seeing that also as part of this scenario, that whereby the complexity of recruiting somebody is not just the quality of the job, the quality of the culture at the institution, but all these other factors, you know, cost of living you mentioned, quality of life you mentioned, but I'm wondering if maybe some of the political issues also are contributing to some of the difficulty and the complexity of the search process.
I mean, we regularly have to be proactive. Not all of our clients are in blue states or red states or purple states. You know, I think understanding the perceptions of your of an opportunity, that state, that institution, you know, whether you're working in an adolescent medicine, you know, or endocrine or specialties like that, where gender transformation and other things have been big topics of late. But I can tell you, we've done work in almost every state. They each have their issues. They each have their perceptions, depending on the candidate that you're talking to. And so I think it's, you get some rub with HR, standard policies about what you can and can't talk about in the minds of faculty and people involved in process on the institution side. But I think it's more important now to really be able to have a meaningful dialogue with candidates about their passions and their perceptions, right? Because, you know, again, I mean, I'll give you an example of Texas. I mean, it's about a 50-50 state, but that's not the perception in the U.S. of Texas, you know? And so I think those dynamics are really huge, because all your efforts to attract somebody and to really provide them even with a great opportunity could be for naught just because of geographically where the opportunity is located. So yeah, it's a big deal right now, for sure.
Yeah, I just want to emphasize what hasn't changed. And that has to do with searching for the best candidates in terms of match for the institution, quality of their work, type of person that they are. And I think those are still absolutely crucial aspects of the search. You want somebody who has the same cultural perspective, the same goals, and is a good match for the institution. And that obviously differs among institutions. Recognizing what your institution both wants and is good at when you're approaching candidates, I think is really crucial. I do agree with the big issue about double candidates or couples candidates and the need to recognize those. But that's always been the case, even though it may not have been dealt with well. Recruiting a family was just as important 20 years ago as it is now. And that is an aspect, as we've talked about in other discussions, that is frequently not recognized and not dealt with up front and jeopardizes recruitment. So I think it's really important to recognize that the family is key to the recruitment of the best person, but we all still want the best person that's a match for the institution.
Another thing that has changed, I think for the better, is that since the pandemic, many places are beginning initial interviews remotely using Zoom or Teams or similar. And this has allowed more candidates to be evaluated potentially because of the elimination of travel, both for the candidate's time and for the institution's budget. Working out how to best do an initial interview and move from there has really made a big difference with this opportunity.
So the next kind of big area I wanted you to all maybe reflect on, and I'll ask, I think we've made the case that certain things are exactly the same, quality of the candidate, the importance of the search process, but it is, I think, seemingly a lot more complex than it was perhaps several decades ago. So what are the must-dos that no matter what search you're going after, these are the critical things that I make sure always happen with every search I'm part of? Arnie, you want to start us off?
I think it's really crucial to evaluate the candidates through sources. Many times it's just, well, here's the CV, it looks really good. Let's advance this candidate even to the final shortlist. But that's the problem. You really need to contact people at the institution in which the candidate resides, to figure out how they interact with people and what their other non-academic skills, if you want to put it that way, are. So I think talking with others is still really crucial to the process and is frequently not done. So I think that's a key component, still a key component, and probably the key component to both finding the best candidates and eliminating those that do not fit well. I've made this mistake, and and ignored signals or red flags about candidates to my everlasting chagrin. So check references, but also check other people at the institution.
I think there are like three really important aspects that I've felt critical to every search. One is preparation. An example of that is nothing turns a candidate off faster than if, say, the hospital president and the dean say, to be successful here, you have to do this, and they get an opposite message from the other. And it really boils down sometimes to a division level. Bringing in a liver transplant person into a GI division that already has a liver person, you can create so many challenges if you don't really get people together and work out issues so that when the candidates come, they understand what the institution wants or is flexible enough to accommodate in candidates. So preparation, the search committee understands what the opportunities are and what the needs are, what the leaders will accommodate in terms of the skills of the candidates. The second is organization. I was fanatical about having a set itinerary with making it easy for the candidates to understand who they're talking with, and also for the interviewers to know the candidates and have the material and have the candidates have that in advance, so that when people came to our institution, I wanted them to say, this is highly professional, that, you know, this is a place that I'd like to work because I know who's picking me up. I know where I'm eating. I know who I'm eating with. I have a chance to prepare before I go. To me, that was extremely important. And then finally, communication with the candidates, communication with references. Nothing turns a candidate off and having to wait 3 months and never hear anything about the progress of the search. So I actually, even in my communications to prospective candidates, said, we will be reviewing the candidates on X date, and you can expect to hear from us within two weeks of that, you know, that date, if possible. And once they visit, I communicate with them and let them know where we were in the process. So those three things, preparation, organization, and communication, were the three things that I thought were just critical in getting the best candidates.
Those are great. Oh, both of you, great points. I guess I might add the team you're recruiting into, not to forget how important the communication, the organization, your leadership skills, and helping people to understand where the process is, how it's going. Because whether it's a successful search or an unsuccessful search, there are so many points at which the individuals that are depending on you and the search team to find the candidates and bring the whole process to fruition, when they're not brought up to speed and don't feel like they're part of it, you can end up with secondary problems that you wouldn't otherwise have by giving attention to that as well.
I think one of the things we do is, as the council knows, is these search-based reviews, you know, where you bring in somebody in before you start the search to make sure that you fully are self-aware what you might look like to a candidate. If left to our own means, we all think everything's great. But I do think that however you can get that assessment before starting a search and getting somebody from that specialty to come in and give you some thoughts as to what not only you might look like, you know, what the deficiencies are and what recommendations they may have for capital and other things to solve those problems. It's from a candidate's perspective, I can tell you it's added a lot of credibility to opportunities, you know, from a candidate's perspective, having that input.
Your preparation also involves knowing where your strengths and weaknesses lie, not only to you, but to the outsiders, and give you the opportunity to mitigate any of the problems in advance of a candidate coming.
Well, I think we had a great conversation today, and I want to thank you all for participating and being so open and honest. I think we've talked about a lot of the similarities in searches from the past, but also a lot of the changes that we've all recognized in this day and age, and also some of the constraints that we have to be aware of. But there's some key elements to a successful search, and that starts with strong leadership, good communication, great organizational skills, and making sure that you oversee and watch out for every component of the search process, both with the candidate, but also with your team at home that are counting on you to deliver a wonderful candidate for them in developing new programs. So for those of you that have participated in watching today's insight, if you would like to learn about some other topics that we've done with the council, please visit our website at careerphysician.com and click on Pediatric Insight. Thank you, everybody.